The historian Ibn Ishaq has recorded another, less dramatic, but equally significant version of Omar's conversion. He had set out to join some friends for a drink in the market one evening, but when his friends failed to turn up, decided to perform the circumambulation around the Kaaba instead. The haram was entirely deserted, except for Muhammad, who was standing close to the Kaaba, reciting the Quran quietly to himself. Omar decided that he wanted to listen, so he crept under the damask cloth that covered the shrine and edged his way round until he was standing directly in front of Muhammad. As he said later, there was nothing between us but the cover of the Kaaba. All his defences but one were down. Then the power of the Quran did its work. "When I heard the Quran," Omar said, "my heart was softened and I wept, and Islam entered into me." Omar's conversion was a bitter blow to the opposition, but because he was protected by his clan, there was nothing that they could do to hurt him. Abu Jahl now imposed a boycott on the clans of Hashim and Al-Mutalib. Nobody could marry into them or trade with them. They could not even sell them food. All the members of Hashim and Al-Mutalib, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, moved into Abu Talib's street, which became a little ghetto. When Muhammad's household arrived, Abu Lahab and his family moved out and took up residence in the district of Abd Shams. The purpose of the boycott was not to starve the two clans, but to bring home to them the consequence of removing themselves from the tribe. If Muhammad wanted to withdraw from the religious life of Mecca, he could not continue to benefit from the economy. The ban collapsed after 3 years. It was especially unpopular among those who had relatives in Hashim or Al-Mutalib and could not, in good conscience, allow them to go hungry. Muslims like Abu Bakr and Omar, who did not belong to the proscribed clans, sent provisions whenever they could. One Meccan regularly loaded a camel with supplies, led it to Abu Talib Street under cover of night, gave the beast a thwack on its hindquarters and sent it lumbering down the alley. On one occasion, Abu Jahl accosted one of Khadija's nephews who was making his way to the ghetto with a bag of flour. There was soon a fierce argument. Another Qureshi joined in, disgusted that Abu Jahl was preventing a man from taking food to his aunt, and gave him a huge blow with a camel's jaw that knocked him to the ground. During this ban, the Quran reminded the Muslims that other prophets, Joseph, Noah, Jonah, Moses, and Jesus, had also warned their people to reform their behaviour, and when they had refused, their societies had collapsed because they were not acting in accordance with the fundamental principles of the universe. Unlike animals, fish, or plants, which are natural Muslims since they submit instinctively to these basic laws, human beings have free will. When they oppress the weak and refuse to share their wealth fairly with the poor, this violation of God's law is as unnatural as though a fish were to try to live on dry land. Disaster was inevitable. But the Quran continued to urge Muslims to be patient and not to seize this opportunity for a personal vendetta against their enemies. Some of the Quraysh, too, were anxious for peace.